Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 59, and this will be our scripture reading. I'm not going to try to preach the whole chapter. I'm mainly going to be looking at verse 1 and verse 19, but I want us to read this whole chapter. And I got an outline from someone that verses 1 through 8, we see what keeps us from God. In verses 9 through 15, we have the sinner's confession as a sinner. In verses 16 and 19, we see the Lord coming in vengeance. And then verses 19 and 21, we see the Lord coming in redemption. And that's how he brings us, because he redeemed us back to himself. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch crocodile's eggs and weave the spider's web that eateth of their eggs and dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. I thought about looking there at this morning about the spider's web, and I couldn't get any liberty there, but there's an article in the bulletin today, I think from Spurgeon, give some good details, the similarities of the spider's web and men in their self-righteousness. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood of the Son of God. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Now that describes what keeps us from God. Verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night, and we are desolate. We are in desolate places as dead men. He's confession. We confess who we are. We grope. You imagine somebody groping around in the middle of the day, and it's just like it's dark. They can't see. For our, verse 12, our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sin is before God. In our sins testify against us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. There's no denying them. And transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth falleth, and he that despiseth evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Now verse 16. And he saw when there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation, and you know who he's describing here. His arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay. He will pay recompense, repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. They'll fear him when he makes himself known. Look in verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto him that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. I've entitled the message, Shall and Shall, and you'll see why in just a little bit when I get to verse 19. But like I said, I'm going to dwell just for a few minutes on verse 1 and then verse 19. You notice the very first word, he said, behold. Behold. That means to take notice, to fix your eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. Observe what? To behold what? The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. What he's saying here in the context is if men are not saved, it's not the Lord's fault. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If men perish, it's their own fault. Men, when they die and wind up in hell, they can't blame God and say they're in hell because God didn't elect them or choose them. They are in hell. It's their own fault. And when men go to glory, it's all his glory. He gets all the recognition. But men can't say, well, it's because God can't save. God can save as he pleases. God will save as he pleases and whom he pleases. As I tried to pray, even for the leaders of our country, God could save our president. He could save any leader. They're not beyond his reach. God wants to get the gospel to them, and he may have got the gospel to them. He can. He can. He can, and he does. I thought about there in Genesis when the Lord spoke to Abraham and told him he was going to have a son. You know what the Lord said? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You think about that. Is anything too hard for... You know, they sometimes we act like it's too hard for him. It's not hard. It's not hard for him. It's hard. It's hard for us to believe it. That's the hard part. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And you know what he did? God proved it. Holding that little child in his arms, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is the Lord's hand shortened that he can't do what he promised to do? Oh no. Is my hand shortened at all? The hand in the scriptures is an emblem of strength. It is an instrument by which our Lord accomplishes his purpose. We know God's a spirit. But he speaks in terms of hands and arms so we can understand what he's saying. The shortening of the hand, that is, it means to cut it off. It's an emblem of diminishing or destroying the ability to exercise what he purposed to do. Is the Lord's hand shortened that he can't save? You mean he can't save those that he purposes to save? You mean his hand is shortened, it's cut off, and God can't save unless you allow him to save? Let me read you this. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Now this is in Numbers chapter 11. And the Lord's speaking to Moses. Numbers 11 verse 18. And you know the children of Israel, the whole time they were come out in the wilderness, they complaining. They're complaining about wanting to go back to Egypt. They're complaining about the leeks and the onions. They're complaining about the manna. We want something more. We want some meat to eat. So here's what the Lord says. And say unto the people, he's saying, Moses, you tell the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. You're going to eat flesh. For you shall have flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? Who's going to give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Really? Therefore the Lord shall give you flesh, and you shall eat it. That's what you want? You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days. Neither 10 days, nor 20 days. You're going to eat flesh for a whole month. It's going to come out your nostrils. You're going to be sick of it. This is what you want. It's come in my ears. And here's what he said. And it will be loathsome unto you. You know what? When I'm done, you'll be sick of it. You will be sick of it. Because that you despise the Lord, which is among you, and you've wept before him. Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people whom I am, they are 600,000 footmen. That's not counting women and children. And you've said, I'm going to give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Can you imagine how much flesh that would be? Shall the flocks and the herbs be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fishes of the sea be gathered for them to suffice them? He's saying, Lord, do you know what you're saying? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? That's what he's saying. Is my hand waxed short? And he did it. Is his hand? No, it's not short. So, and that means so that it cannot reach far enough to fulfill his purpose. Thou shalt see. Now, whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. I can see him that first day. Oh, man, that's good. The second, oh, that's good. After about 5-6 days, you're going to get sick of it. I don't care how good something is. Eventually, you're going to get, we go call it foundered on it. You don't want it anymore. That's what he's saying. Sometimes, a lot of times, the Lord will give you just exactly what you want. And you know what? You'll be sick of it. You'll be sick of it. Can you imagine that they would really want to go back to Egypt? All that I ever read, they were slaves. And they want to talk about eating flesh. When did they get any flesh to eat? But he said, is the Lord's hand waxed short? In Isaiah 50, verse 2, wherefore, when I came, there was no man. When I called, there was none to answer. And then he says again, he asked the question, is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dried up the sea. I dried up the Red River. I dried up the Red Sea. I made the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water. And dieth for thirst. Is my hand shortened? I thought a man named Nebuchadnezzar. This man, you think about this, what God allowed to happen just so this man could hear the gospel. He allowed this man who was a very wicked, vile man who ruled over Babylon, false religion, and allows him to come in and to destroy the temple, take all the vessels that were in Solomon's great temple back to Babylon. And God teaches that man the gospel. And here's what he said. Here's what this man said. After God had drove him almost crazy, his hair grew out like eagle's feathers and his fingernails grew out like eagle's claws for 7 years. Then his reasoning come back, and here's what he said. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And God does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay what? His hand. Or say unto you, what doest thou? You think you can stop the hand of God? Nebuchadnezzar said, no, you can't. God's hand's not shortened. You think about all the what God did to bring them to the place where this wicked man would hear the gospel. To hear the gospel. Isaiah 43:13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? That's what we saw in the Bible lesson. There's none could deliver out of Ahab out of the Lord's hands. He tried to disguise himself, and it was his day to die. None can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Isaiah 40:10. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. All this is speaking of Christ. Behold, his reward is with him, in his work before him. Now watch this. He will come with a strong hand. It's a strong, but it's a gracious hand. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. How does he feed them? He feeds them with his hand, with his tender. I can see him rub them. I can see him pet them. They're his lamb. They're his shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. It's not just a hand of justice. It's a hand of mercy. Isaiah 63:5. I looked and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. In my fury, it upheld me. Is his hand shortened that he cannot save? Oh, no. He still saves today. We rejoice when we see God reach down his hand of mercy and save someone and pull them out and carry that little lamb in his bosom. He carries them. His hand. Then it says his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. As I thought about this, I thought he's just a cry away. I thought about Peter when Peter was walking on the water. And Peter was afraid. He asked the Lord, said, Lord, is it you bid me to come to you? And he said, come. And he got out and he walked on the water. And Peter began to look at the wind and the waves, boisterous. And just like us, we become afraid. And he said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. He's just a cry away. He's not reciting some prayer that he memorized. He's crying from his heart. And his ear's not heavy that he can hear. The reason he don't hear, we read, is because our iniquities and our sin. And listen, you think Peter's doubting. And the Lord didn't let him perish. He called him. Is his hand shortened that he can't save? As soon as Peter cried, that hand of mercy, that hand that's going to be pierced, that hand who has our names graven in the palms of his hands, he reached down and he snatched him like a firebrand from the fire and he saved him. That's how God saves sinners. He reaches down. His ear is not heavy, then he cannot hear. We see there in verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Oh, so sad when we read there about he said his hides his face from you. His ear is always attentive to the cry for mercy. I thought about blind Bartimaeus. Is his hand shortened he can't save? Is his ear heavy that he can't hear? In Mark 10:47, And when blind Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, and he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more the great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and said to him, "Be of good comfort, he calleth for you." Did he hear that? Oh, yeah. You know, there was a lot. You imagine the noise that was in that street that day. The ruckus, and this man's sitting down on the ground. He's a blind beggar, and he's crying out for mercy. And he heard him. His ear's not heavy that he can't hear. The problem is not with God. The problem is not that the Lord cannot hear. The problem is with us. Isaiah 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear me." Iniquity's always there, but when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. We don't condone it. We cry out for mercy. It's like Peter. He's walking on the water, and it's doubt and fear which causes him to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me." And he saved him. Jeremiah 11:11. "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them when they shall not be able to escape. And those they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them." And it was not God's fault. It's because of their sin and their rebellion. In James chapter 4:2, he said, "You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, and you have not because you ask not. And you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." His ear's not heavy that he can't hear. Oh, that the Lord would make bare his holy arm. Listen, Isaiah 52:9. "Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nation." It's like he had it hid and he revealed it. "Who hath believed our report? Those to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." And that's Christ. He said, this is him. You don't see, when God made bare his arm, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There he is. That's his arm. That's his hand. That's his majesty. That's his glory. Where do you see the glory of God? In the face of Jesus Christ. Why would he hide his face from us? For a little season, because of our sin. Because we make excuses for it. We just need to be honest. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Is his hand shortened that he cannot save? Oh, no. There's some people, you know, that's been on our heart for years. But in his time, we may never see it in our lifetime. It doesn't matter. I pray God would show him mercy. I pray you'd show him mercy. So in there in verse 19, it says, I want to look at that statement where it says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." You know, sir, when the enemy shall come, it's not if and or but he's going to come. When he shall come in, he's going to come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall, no questions about it, lift up a standard against him. Here we see in verse 19 the result of him bearing his holy arm. He'll lift up a standard, the flag of victory. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. We were talking earlier, and it seems like when things are, as we would say, the worst, is when God manifests himself. When it seems like the enemy comes, you imagine a flood. It's like something is held it back. And now it's taken out of the way. And now it just takes its course. It's like gravity. It just sweeps everything in its path. That's a flood. You think of a flood, it's something that just, it's almost like it comes up unexpectedly. In just a little bit. When the enemy of our soul comes against us like a flood, who can stand against the flood? When the enemy comes to stir up our flesh, it's like a flood. I've seen times, and I'm not proud of it. It's like a flood. We say things we shouldn't say, and then we just keep saying it. We just have this attitude, and then we carry it on for days. It's just like it's like something out of control, just breaking out its banks. That's us. That's us. When the enemy, no, we can't blame the enemy. It's our own fault. It's our own fault. But he just knows just what button to push. He watches you. Don't you know he watched Peter? Well, the Lord said, Peter, Satan hath desired you. We don't know how he said it, but he said, I want him. Let me have him. He's the spokesman. Seems like the leader. Let me have him. The Lord said, if you consider him a servant, Job. And don't you know he watched David say, where's David at? Oh, he's sitting in there. He's probably on his rooftop. He's probably meditating on the scriptures. He's musing on the word of God. And just so happens there's a woman named Bathsheba. Just happens to be over taking a bath. And you know what happened? A flood. And people were destroyed in a flood. He destroyed people's reputations. David destroyed his reputation. He said, you've given great opportunity for the enemy to blaspheme God. A woman, her husband died in the flood. You see it. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Like a flood, suddenly without notice. Years ago, back in North Carolina, it was a place back up in the mountains where we used to go hunting. And it was government property, and we could ride back in there. And the government had several ponds built, pretty good sized ponds for the wildlife. And one of those ponds busted. Now it's up on the mountain. You know, as gravity works, it was just like a valley. When that pond or bust, all that water come down that valley. And it almost destroyed a man's house. It washed his tractor away. It just happened to miss his house. Can you imagine standing out there all of a sudden, have no idea it's happening, and here it comes. Everything in its path is destroyed. The flood has no compassion. What a picture of our spiritual foe. When sins and doubts and temptations assail us, who can, without divine aid, stand against them? Who is able to resist them? Not by ourselves. There's times when it seems like the flood comes and we feel almost gone. And we need, someone said, extraordinary grace. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he cannot do anything but accept what the Lord allows him to do. And it serves his purpose. I want to show you this. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. The serpent, the old devil, he hates the church, despises the church. If he could, he would destroy the church. He's the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood. And here in Revelation 12, verse 15. What did the old serpent do? He cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, after the church. That he may cause her to be carried away of the flood. That's what he wanted to do. This flood that, can you imagine, that comes out of his mouth. Men don't understand. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in higher places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. It's of Satan. It's the doctrines of devils is what it is. And he opens his mouth like water as a flood. And he wants to, why does he do it? He wants to destroy the woman. He wants to destroy the church and carry her away. But look in verse 16. The earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. He referred to him as the serpent, now the dragon. And the earth helped the woman. How did the earth help the woman? She swallows up his doctrine. You think about it. It's like a flood. Look at it. Look at the flood of false doctrine. Look at the flood of self-righteous religion. And he wants to destroy the church. And she's not destroyed. The earth helped the woman by swallowing it up. That, look, the enemy comes in like a flood. Look in the days of the early church. If he had had his way, it's like he's standing there to devour. Because it talks about when he was born. That's talking about when Christ, he's born through the church. He used Mary, but she's just a picture of the church. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he went back to glory. And because he can't get to him, because he's cast out of heaven, he says, I'll get to her. And the earth helped the woman, swallows up their doctrine, and they believe a lie. The enemy comes in like a flood. And you know, when Herod laid hands on James, he killed James like a flood. And he laid hands on Peter, I'm going to kill him. And God spared Peter. But there was a persecution came. You know why? You know what God used that for? To drive them out, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. But the enemy came in like a flood. Look at it all through history. So what does he do? When the enemy comes in like a flood, what does he do? He just stands back. Oh no, his hand's not shortened that he can't save. He even uses those things to save his people. You mean God does? Oh yeah, that's the way God works. His ear's not heavy that he can't save. You know, most of us, most all of us, we're self-righteous. You know what most of us did? We swallowed his doctrine. We swallowed his religion, and God saved us. He saved us. He said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, he shall lift up a standard. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The word standard means an ensign or a flag. This is the standard that's lifted up. It's Christ. The Spirit of the Lord, you know what his office is? He will glorify me. He will exalt me. He will point you to me. He's lifted up for everybody to see. Listen, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign or a banner or a standard for the people. To it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. From that root of Jesse, he raised up an ensign, a standard against the enemy. What's his standard? It's the gospel. When the enemy, what's the means to stop the enemy? It's the standard. It's like we think about World War II. We didn't want to get into that battle. Let everybody else fight the battle. But when they attacked us, our flag was not mentioned till then. And when they attacked this country, then we got in that battle. And I can just see them. We're not only fighting the Germans, we're fighting the Japanese now. And when we come up to Iwo Jima, on that island, they thought they had it under control. You can't take this mountain. You can't take this little island. There's an airport on that island. That's why we need it. And they said, we're not letting you have it. And those men fought. And I can just see them down at the bottom of the sea when they raised that flag. And what that flag meant? It meant victory. We've conquered it. You know what that means? When we see the banner, we see Christ, the enemy's fallen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and yes, he did, God lifted up a standard. He lifts up Christ. That's our victory. That's our glory. That's our salvation. Listen, in Isaiah 11, verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. When you're on a battlefield, what do you look for? You look for one thing. You look for the flag. And you know who they shoot at first? The man with the flag. It's the man who carries the flag. He lifts up a standard. The enemy comes in. He says, I'm going to destroy you. You know what they do? They march forward following that flag. That flag represents something. As our flag represents something, this flag, this ensign, represents Christ who paid his precious blood to redeem his people. And that's our victory. Let the enemy come in like a flood. Got to raise up a standard against him. All hell can't stop it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against him. The standard raised against the enemy is our Redeemer. When the battle is the most fierce, the army is looking for the flag, and they rally to the flag. When things get the worst, I think about David. You know, he went on for almost probably a year. That baby was almost born. And he sent him a preacher, pointed out his sin, and David seen the flag. He raised up the standard. And he said, you're not going to die. And God reminds you of Christ. And he's lifted up in your heart. And he put away your sin. And then that's the victory. That's the victory. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. He's the only one that can help us. The Spirit of the Lord, someone said, that's the breath of God. Sometimes God works openly with his arm or his hand, and all can see his doings. But even more frequently, he silently works at the heart of things, and only men of faith can trace what he's doing. They can't see it. The world today seems like it's in a mess. And it is. We're not making light of it. It doesn't seem like the enemy's coming in like a flood. And it seems like he has his way. It seems like he's just washing everything away. But he's not on the throne. God's on the throne. And through that, we may not see it. He's doing a work. He's lifting up a standard. He has his little churches everywhere, and he's going to gather together his elect. As the world just swallows up the doctrine, just swallows it up, God saves his people. God saves his people. You know, thinking about another flood, God sent a flood in Noah's day. Destroyed everybody except Noah. And God used that flood. The more it came, the higher went the ark. And when everything's done, the only thing you can see floating on the top of that water, besides all those dead bodies, is that ark. That flood washed everything away. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will just lift up his standard. Where's salvation? It's in that ark. It's in that ark. If it was not for our Redeemer, the enemy would take over. When he comes in, he will, as long as we are in this world, and he will, he's our enemy. He knows that his time is short, and he comes down showing great wrath. But our God reigns. He is our standard. Christ is our standard, and we're not afraid. The victory's already been won, and he rules. Lessons from these verses. Our Lord has no trouble saving his people. His ear is open to their cry. And when it seems that the enemy is taking over, remember that he's defeated. The enemy hates Christ. And he hates the church. There used to be a song years ago. I think the title of it was When He Reached down his hand for me. He plucked us like firebrands from the fire. And listen in Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 1, you know, this is familiar to you. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquities pardoned, and she hath received at the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Then verse 11. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let me give you one more verse. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I pray the Lord would use that to comfort your heart, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you'll remember he said that the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him.